All right, Drive Time on the air. It's been a busy day. It's been a good day, I think. Man, it's hot out there, though, isn't it? Am I saying it's been a good day because we just had a guest with whiskey on over the last hour? I've only been... Dan can vouch for the fact that we had a we have an official dump bucket because you take a sip and then you dump. So, like, here's a... If you're watching on the YouTube stream, which, by the way, we're 20 subscribers away.
Come on, you can do it, folks.
We're getting there. So let's go. YouTube.com. WCCO Radio. Click subscribe. So here is...
If we get to the 20 subscribers, if we get to 1,000, no dump bucket. You just straight drink.
I drink. So I needed to find a dump bucket because Phil wanted to sample. And if you missed it, check on the podcast, DeRussia Eats. You'll see the Brother Justice interview. But Blois is probably going to be upset what I use for the dump bucket.
Or he'd be honored.
It is a Morning Take coffee mug. Well, it implies that Morning Take is sort of a dump bucket.
No, it implies that Morning Take is useful and a brand worth looking at.
Maybe. I was thinking more that...
You know, if you want to keep digging, I'm trying to get you out of the hole here, Jason.
It's been a busy news day. We, of course, are watching the updates that the feds charged the political assassin, Vance Belter, the accused political assassin. He was indicted by a federal grand jury on 6 different counts. He will almost certainly face the death penalty. This is the first stop in that process. We're also watching the continuing trial of State Senator Nicole Mitchell, who was arrested on felony burglary charges in the middle of a family tragedy. But if she had stepped down from her office, the Democrats would have lost their majority in the state Senate. And so she didn't. And she still hasn't. And so we'll see what a jury decides up there. Right now, let's get you going with the D-Rush Hour News headlines.
Now, time to get you caught up on some of the biggest stories of the day. These are the D-Rush Hour headlines.
Good evening. Our top story.
This just in.
Our top story.
We begin tonight.
We begin tonight.
We begin tonight.
We begin tonight.
We begin with the lead.
It is one of the biggest unsolved mysteries in the United States of America. A television news anchor who never came home. Her killer has never been found. More than 30 years have passed. Jody Huizentrout is her name. Maria Oz is an investigative journalist, an independent producer based here in the Twin Cities. She's been covering and curious about this case for decades. And just today, her documentary has launched. And Maria is with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Maria, good to visit with you.
Yes, thanks for having me.
This documentary, which is called Her Last Broadcast, The Abduction of Jody Huizentrout, is on Hulu. You know, it is to me, it's astonishing that there still is no resolution. You have to feel the same way. And when you looked into this, it's like, all right, are we going to find some new stuff or are we treading the same ground that many others have treaded before, that there just are no real answers on this?
Yeah, I mean, a 30-year-old case still unsolved. It definitely is that. I would say that absolutely, though, this time around, our docuseries, we do have a lot of new information that anyone who is familiar with Jody's case certainly hasn't heard yet. There are a couple of new persons of interest in this case. There's been some revelations about a brand new composite sketch that the Mason City Police have been holding on to here of someone who was seen lurking around her apartment building a couple of days before she vanished. And there is, you know, a chance to kind of set the record straight on some misinformation that's been out there about her case. So I think that the hope is the coverage and the publicity will, you know, bring that final piece that they need to solve it.
Committee Films is the name of your business where you are investigating this and creating the film. When you look at this abduction, what is the biggest thing that surprised you when you took this fresh look at it?
Oh, I think that, you know, one of the things that surprised me, especially because you hear so much now about, you know, touch DNA or different kinds of testing and all these cold cases being solved through, you know, family tree DNA and that kind of stuff. You know, the hope was, I think, to me, could this kind of technology, could these new tools be used to solve this case? And I think that it really, you know, opened my eyes that there's not much evidence here in this case to take a look at. Now, that's not to say that they can't run some of these things through. Anyone who knows this case knows that a lot of her belongings were found spread out in the parking lot where she was abducted from. But who's to say the perpetrator touched those things and she just didn't drop them, right? And so while there's evidence in the case, I think the question has always been, how valuable is the evidence in terms of being able to connect it with DNA? But I do think that the Mason City Police Department is going to try to do what they can with what they have and investigate some of those new techniques.
Part of the reason so many Minnesota journalists have been fascinated with this story is that Jody Huizentrou was a St. Cloud State graduate, but she was in Mason City, Iowa. She didn't show up to work on June 27th, 1995. Her body's never been found. Maria, when you think about this and you're sitting around, you're looking through some of the work that you did when you were at WCCO-TV, Caroline Lowe, former colleague, was a huge investigator of this. Does part of you wonder if by some crazy circumstance or happenstance, Jody Huizentrou is still out there?
Oh, well, that would be great if she's out there and we can somehow find her alive. But I think that, you know, the family and most everyone believes that's unfortunately not the case, although certainly there are those outlier cases where somebody does turn up alive. I mean, I think that the biggest goal here is just to find her and what happened to her. I mean, I cannot imagine being the family and living with this for so many years. And I'm glad they were able to participate and support this particular docuseries. It gave us the opportunity to really shed a light on the person that Jody was, this wonderful, you know, sister, friend, colleague, all of the things. And, you know, I think it's a woman's biggest fear. You're walking alone to your car and you don't make it, right?
Yeah.
It really resonates with people.
Yeah, and I don't know. I'm given a little bit of hope in your work and in the work of thefindjody.com team in that we did finally get answers about Jacob Wetterling. It took 27 years, but we got answers. And so I would imagine for you that gives you some hope.
Absolutely. And I do think that with these new persons of interest coming to light and some, you know, really interesting evidence there, you know, as it pertains to these individuals, you know, I think the door is wide open to figure out what really happened here. And, you know, maybe with some fresh eyes, some fresh information, someone who knows something, I always think there's someone who knows something out there, you know, maybe someone can come forward with that missing piece.
Dan, can you just play a little bit from the trailer? Because people can see this, the first part on Hulu right now. It's a production of ABC News Studios and produced by Maria Oz's team at Committee Films.
People don't just vanish on their way to work with no witnesses, no trace.
They found the car keys laying on the ground, red high-heeled shoes. You can see drag marks. We've got a problem.
Good Monday morning. Welcome to Daybreak.
I'm Jody Huizentrou.
Less than 24 hours after it aired, she would vanish.
KIMT News anchor Jody Huizentrou was just 27 at the time of her disappearance.
Things went from we're just looking for somebody missing to we're looking for somebody that was abducted.
Maria Oz is the producer of the abduction of Jody Huizentrou, her last broadcast. People can find that on Hulu. Maria, we're always fascinated with these unsolved mysteries. I know it's been an emotional journey for you, too, working on this, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I end up diving deep and you're living and breathing this story for years in this particular case. I've probably been working on this for 5 years in some form or fashion. And so, you know, I want to do whatever I can to keep her story out there and hopefully get it solved.
All right. Hope people check it out. Maria, we appreciate you spending some time with us. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much.
Her last broadcast is what that is called, and you can find it on Hulu. Next up is a story that has been shockingly a part of just about every network, every newspaper, every broadcast over the last 24 hours. The Gen Z stare, which I have to say to the media, what is wrong with you? The Gen Z stare. Here is a TikTok of a millennial complaining about Gen Z.
I'm a millennial who received the Gen Z stare recently, and this is how that interaction went. Hi, I'm Riley. I'm Hallie's mom. Thank you so much for agreeing to teach my daughter golf. She is so excited.
Yeah.
Okay, so I noticed that you guys had a deal where I can buy a certain amount of lessons and get one free. Do you remember what that deal is? I don't have my phone with me, so I can't see it.
Okay. I was talking to my Gen Z son, Sam, about this earlier today. And Sam said the reason Gen Z is staring at you is because you're being an idiot. Every generation has thought that the younger generation is looking at them funny. We do not need to turn the Gen Z stare into the latest story on the New York Times, which it is. Yes, Gen Z is staring at you. The question is why? No, the question is not why. Axios this morning. The blank look that you're getting. It's called the Gen Z stare. Do we have to call everything something? Gen Z is staring at you because you are an idiot. It's that easy. Stop blaming Gen Z and stop being weird. Because you're probably being weird. 520. That is the D-Rush Hour news headlines. Defending Gen Z. Did you expect that coming from DeRussia today? I don't think so. Next, we continue with the DeRussia Hour news headlines, page two. Are you cleaning your water bottle enough? Nelly coming back to Minnesota as well. And human composting. We'll talk about it next. D Rush Hour news headlines coming your way, page two. All right, we start with a topic that I have been very curious about. It's about your water bottle. Do you think you're cleaning your water bottle correctly?
So how do we clean? Well, we take our bucket. We've got our glove to protect us. Oh, we don't want to ruin our manicure. And we've got a clean white cloth and abrasive cleanser. None of that non-abrasive cleanser for us. Just good old-fashioned cleanser.
Oh, Phil Hartman classic. Very good. So many of us have reusable water bottles. This is mine. If you're watching on the YouTube stream. Dan, do you have a reusable water bottle today? I think so. Yeah, that's yours. So, do you clean this thing? Do you clean it every night?
No.
No. My wife cleans water bottles every night. So the Washington Post today says, well, if you're only putting water in your bottle, if you rinse it out every evening and let it air dry overnight, or if you have two bottles and you cycle between them, you're fine. The challenge is if the interior is always wet, bacteria and mold are most likely to multiply. So you got to dry it out. The actual washing, if you have a straw, they say soap and water, you should wash the lid because that's where your gross mouth, and by your, I do mean literally you, Dan Cook, your disgusting.
Thank you.
Disgusting mouth. That's where the germs meet the lid. So you got to clean it out. Molds and algae could also grow and form a slimy surface inside. Oh, we've all done that, haven't we? We've left that water bottle sitting on the counter. I maintain that the water bottle doesn't really need to be washed as much as my wife believes it does. But, you know, she wants to wash
it. I'm sure she appreciates you expressing that opinion.
Well, what she likes is my thoughts on cleanliness, for sure. Because if I am the household expert on keeping things clean. Letting grime accumulate on the outside of a water bottle also has consequences, they say. So you think, like, well, who cares if the outside is dirty? Well, if you're touching the grime and then you touch the thing, then it gets in there. Okay. We all cope with death a little differently. And we all have ideas on how we want to be buried.
What you reading?
Just a book on composting.
What's new with composting?
Well, there is something new with composting. It is called human composting. This is one of those things that sounds way weirder than it is. It actually is quite beautiful. Human composting is now legal in the state of Minnesota. Pioneer Press reporting on this, saying it's probably going to be a year before the process is available locally. At least one company plans to open a facilities in the Twin Cities. When I heard human composting, I sort of thought about what my father always wanted, which was to be buried in the backyard. No. Human composting is where it's a green burial. A body is placed in a ventilated container with organic materials like alfalfa, straw, and sawdust, and allowed to naturally decompose over 60 days or so until it becomes soil. Only a handful of states have legalized this, 13 as of 2025. Other green burials, which avoid embalming chemicals and use biodegradable caskets, are already legal. But human composting is different and new, and I don't know that I love the name. I don't know. The way they do it is about a 30-day process where air flow gets pumped through this vessel. It becomes warm, and then, you know, dust to dust. You kind of, we know the deal. Personally, as you know, Dan, I would like to be in an open casket so everyone can, you know,
embalm you like Lincoln so you stick around for a while?
Yeah, I want everybody to have to come and give me a little kiss. Give me a little kiss on the cheek. I went to so many wakes and funerals as a kid, and it was always open casket. And so to me, it's not weird. But to people who did not grow up around that, the first time you go to a funeral, and it's like, whoa, how you doing? It's something. My guy, Nelly. Apparently, the D Rush Hour News headlines is brought to you by How Can I Make All of These Stories About Me? My guy, Nelly, loved meeting me from a distance so much, he's decided to come back to Minnesota. It's getting hot in here, so take off all your clothes. I am getting so hot, I want to take my clothes off. So I saw Nelly at the Twins game last Friday, along with 40,000 other people. Chris Riemenschneider in the Star Tribune, writing about the news that Nelly is coming to the State Fair to play the grandstand on the second Saturday night, August 30th. So first, Riemenschneider says, look, they couldn't confirm him. He's the last name to be announced, because when somebody has a show already in the same town, you can't say like, hey, don't worry about it. You don't need to go see him at the Twins game. You can come see him at the State Fair. So they had to wait until this show was done. The other question I think some have wondered, you know, is nostalgic hip hop really, does that make State Fair sense? And Chris reports that last year, the Ludacris T-Pain show was the hottest grandstand ticket. It sold out with more than 14,000 attendees. So this is like late 90s, early 2000s hip hop. Nelly will be joined by Ja Rule, Maya, and the Ying Yang Twins. That is the D-Rush Hour news headlines. In just a minute, we're going to keep the concert theme going, and we are going to give away two tickets to see Paul McCartney. I need you to call now to play Name That Tune, 651-461-9226. You are going to play Name That Tune for a chance to win McCartney tickets before you can buy it. You got to be able to go on October 17th. You have to be willing to play Name That Tune. Paul McCartney gotback.com is where you can buy tickets when they go on sale Friday. We'll give two away in just a minute here on Drive Time. How's it going to go? Paul McCartney tickets on the line right now for the Paul McCartney Got Back Tour at U.S. Bank Stadium on October 17th. You cannot buy them yet, but you can win them right now. What a great response from all our callers. Patty in Bloomington, you get the first shot. Such a tiny clip. How short was that, Dan? 2 seconds?
Just about 3 seconds.
All right, almost 3 seconds. Patty?
Yes, sir.
Oh, you sound very happy. Can you name this tune?
I was not happy, but I was nervous.
Fair enough. All right, Dan will play one more time. Here we go. All right, that's it. Patty, can you name that Paul McCartney tune?
Someone to Watch Over Me.
Ooh, no, that is not correct. Patty, try again tomorrow. Randy in Cottage Grove, such a short clip. It is a Paul McCartney song. Can you name that tune, Randy?
I'm going to go Hey Jude.
You got it. You got it.
I got it. Yeah. Don't you know that it's just Whoa.
How about that?
That was a tricky one.
That was a little tricky.
I was sitting there going back and forth thinking, oh, man, it's my only shot.
Randy, you did it. Congratulations. You are going to see Paul McCartney at U.S. Bank Stadium. How fun is that? How pumped are you?
Oh, well, I'll probably be breathing again in another 10 minutes.
Oh, I love it. So Dan and I were, Dan makes me try to guess before the show, and I did not recognize the lyric, but there was something about just like the chord progression that gave me Hey Jude. So
yeah, that's, I think, what helped. At first I was thinking, what, I'm 64, but I thought, no, that's not it.
Yeah.
And then that, oh, whoa, all right.
The trick is, you know, with Paul McCartney, his songs are so recognizable that how do you do a short enough clip where it's, okay, I sort of recognize it, but I sort of don't, you know, it's almost impossible with him.
And he's got so many different sounds and different
melodies.
And yet you mean, know all of them instantly. That's McCartney.
Yeah.
Randy, you may be the most excited anyone has ever been winning something on this show.
Well, hey, good reason.
It's certainly the most excited anyone's ever been to listen to this show. I'll tell you that much.
Well, you guys made my year.
Oh, I'm so thrilled for you. You have two passes to see Paul McCartney. Now, people can buy these tickets. U.S. Bank Stadium, a lot of tickets, but you won't need to. October 17th, the tickets go on sale starting Friday at paulmccartneygotback.com. The pre-sale started today. So there's some pre-sale, but I hope they're great seats. I assume we're not giving you crappy seats, right? Do we know?
Right behind the big pillar. That's where they're.
I don't think that's the case. They'll be great.
Probably not, but you know, hey, they're free and I'm going to be there. And
we love it. Randy, who are you bringing?
I might bring my wife.
Yeah,
well, she's sitting here looking at me.
Tell her to play her cards right. I mean, you've got, you know, she's got to earn it. She's got to earn it.
Yeah, I got the trump card.
Randy, you guys are going to have a great time. Make sure, I want you to send me a picture of you guys enjoying the show. So you can email.
Oh, I will.
Yeah, email me or send me the picture. I'd love to see you guys having a good time there, okay?
Definitely will. You're going to see big smiles.
Good. Randy, I'm thrilled for you. Thank you for listening. We really appreciate it.
Well, and so do I. You keep up the good work, and you'll be getting good pictures.
All right, good. You stay on the line. Randy, stay on hold, because Dan will get your information, and we'll get all that done. And everybody else, Patty and Scott and Patrick and Steve, tomorrow's another day, another chance tomorrow. And I don't make the rules here, but, you know, Hey Jude, clearly a Beatles song. Paul McCartney wrote it. So there you go. Now, I don't know what our boss is doing. I don't know what.
Well, I mean, the odds are Hey Jude is going to be played at the show.
You would think so.
So it counts. Yeah. It totally counts.
I'm not questioning the integrity.
It kind of sounds like you're questioning.
No.
I'm sensing some question.
But the song will be from the McCartney.
Yeah, it could be Beatles. It could be Wings. It could be just him. You don't know.
We'll do it again tomorrow.
Yes, we will.
So we're doing this tomorrow. You're off tomorrow.
I am off tomorrow.
Huh.
But you will be doing this tomorrow.
Why are you off tomorrow?
Long story.
It's not that long.
It's long enough.
Don't feel like it's a pretty short story,
well,
really.
We don't need to get into it.
Dan's off tomorrow and off the rest of the week, but I will still conduct this contest. And I will still forget to tease it during most of the show.
Probably.
Every Tuesday, you can count on me forgetting to tease Twins Ticket Tuesday. But I feel like everybody knows. And if you don't know, I'm sorry. Now, the pro tip is the best way to be first on the line to call is to be streaming the show on YouTube. So if you're watching on YouTube, it's just a second or two ahead of the radio signal and probably 35 or 40 seconds ahead of the digital stream.
Right.
Now, I wish we could.
We love people that listen on the app. We really do.
It's
and if
all
there was
great.
A way to make this where it was fair to everybody, we would totally do that. But
technology is what it is.
It is what it is.
So there you go. Paul McCartney tickets. Pretty good. How about we break? We break
sure.
So you can get the information from Randy. I've got two things I want to talk about when we come back. Which will it be? Will it be my irritation with something that's going on in Wisconsin? Probably not. It's probably going to be the Emmys. The show that has the most Emmy nominations just today, I can't stand this show. We'll talk about that when we come back. All right, a little bit of potpourri for our last segment here on Drive Time. I like the Home Run Derby. I watched most of it yesterday. Not most of it. I watched the longest period of it, I suppose.
You watched what most Minnesotans watched, which was until Byron Buxton got knocked
out. Yeah, when he was out, I was like, well, I'm going to go back downstairs and watch that John Hamm show on Apple TV.
There you go.
Your friends and neighbors. So we were watching Alyssa and Seth and I sitting around the dinner table, and I enjoyed it. Like, you can nitpick on, like, oh, the format's annoying and this and that and the timeout.
And it takes way too long.
Takes too long, and I didn't really like the Big Mouth introductions.
Pat McAfee.
Yeah. But Pat McAfee's fine.
Pat McAfee's doing Pat McAfee, and you either love him
or
you
don't. I didn't need his little sidekick there. Like, let's just go full McAfee.
Yeah, you know, he's got his boys. What are you going to do?
I mean, if I ever get asked to do something, do I have to bring you?
No.
Like, here's my sidekick,
no,
Dan?
No. Dan, in fact, I'd actually prefer it if you didn't. I felt bad for the announcers a little bit, because how many different ways or how many different reactions can you have to a guy hitting the ball 450 feet? I mean, it's like, you know, it got a little repetitive in that degree after.
There it goes.
I mean, what are you going to do?
That's fair.
But what can you do? I don't, you know, how do you keep that fresh? I don't know that you can.
But objectively, is there something else in the audio board I'm hearing? Like,
you shouldn't be hearing anything else.
Who knows? I know what it was. I'll tell you later.
Okay.
So I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Because it's just like,
for what it was, it was good.
Superhumans just beating the crap out of a baseball.
Yeah.
It's entertaining.
Yes.
The All-Star game tonight will be entertaining, I guess.
Hopefully.
You know, Joe Ryan's going to pitch an inning.
Yes.
So that'll be fun. And Buxton
should get an at bat.
Yeah. The hard thing as a Twins fan is, like, we knew last night we could start at the beginning. And then when Buxton is out, then you
can
stop.
You can tune out, yeah.
And with the All-Star game, which starts at 8 or 7.
I think the broadcast starts at 6, and then, I don't know, the game is probably closer to 7.
There is a lot of pregame nonsense, too, for the home run game.
Oh, yeah. No, there's
a lot of commercials.
There'll be a whole bunch of pregame nonsense for the All-Star game, too.
Today, the Emmys were announced.
Nominations.
The Emmy nominations. And, you know, for a long time, shows that regular people watch are not the shows that are getting Emmys.
Right.
And I think that's fine. Like, just like the Academy Awards go to movies that are critically acclaimed and sort of weirdo movies, right?
Usually.
Artsy, fartsy.
Yeah, once in a while you get a Titanic or, you know, what Argo was a, it wasn't an artsy movie, but it wasn't necessarily hugely popular. Once in a while.
Does anyone really like Severance?
Apparently.
Severance picked up 27 Emmy nominations. Severance is the show that more people try to get me to like than any show in the history of the world. And last season, which, you know, I don't know, the first season was probably 45 years ago, the way these streaming shows go. Severance to me was so slow. And I think the performances are great. Like, I can understand why all of the actors won or have been nominated, why the cinematography is quite striking, the sets are cool. Like, it's cool. Great. And it's way too slow. So that was my attitude last season until the finale. And last season's finale was so dang good. I was like, all right, yeah, I'm in. You got me. Now, I don't know if most people are streaming these shows like binge style, where you just watch the whole thing. Because I usually will watch one or two shows a night. And then next time I have a free night, I'll watch another one. I think it's a significantly different viewing experience when you sit down and binge a show from start to finish versus watch a show 1 week at a time. And a show like Severance comes out 1 week at a time, I believe. This year I was out. I'm like, you know what? I watched 9 episodes to get the cool finale last year. And I'm not spending 7 or 8 or 9 hours to get the 1 hour payoff. I'm not going to do it. I'm out. So I'm out on Severance. Good for you. 27 Emmys.
Yeah. Nominations.
Nominations, the most of any series. Now, what I do like about these nominations, because you and I were talking about this before.
Yeah,
like,
because
does anybody care?
This is my question, is that especially with the fractured nature of TV. Like, I'm not into Severance because, you know, that's an Apple show, right? I don't have Apple TV.
Right.
And so if you're a Netflix person and you don't have Prime, or you're a Hulu person and you don't have Disney or whatever it is, you know, I think everybody watches, and you talked about how people consume. Everybody's watching different platforms, and then different platforms are releasing on different schedules, and there isn't that appointment viewing anymore,
right?
The way that there used to be when it was strictly network and cable. So, I wonder how many people actually care. But you had a great reason why people actually do pay attention to the Emmys.
What I like about it is the discovery aspect of it, because I'm always looking for a new show. So, like right now, I'm watching the Jon Hamm show on Apple TV. It's good-ish. It's good plus. It's not, I got to see how this ends. But I'm in enough. Like Severance, I had to pull the plug. Can't do it anymore. White Lotus is a show I like. And that got a good chunk of nominations today. But what the bit with the White Lotus is, it's sort of, I don't know, it's like a trashy romance novel. Like, it's just sort of a popcorn viewing show. Good performances, interesting. You're like, how's this going to turn out? But that's sort of my vibe on that. The Bear, I watched the whole 4th season of The Bear. I like The Bear. But for me, I'm always looking for something new. So like The Penguin, I haven't seen The Penguin. Adolescence, I haven't seen. I don't know that one. So it's like, oh, that's pretty good. I should... Like, these are just some things I can add to my list. The Studio, I don't know that one. So, like, if you don't have a streaming bit, like, what can you watch? Abbott Elementary got a comedy nomination. I like Abbott Elementary. I think that's pretty good. Otherwise, I'm regular TV. Nothing. I think Quinta Brunson got nominated for Abbott Elementary, and Abbott Elementary got nominated, and that's it. Now, I'm not going to go old man on the bit and be like, how come, you know, why isn't CSI whatever nominated or FBI International? But maybe they need a category, right? They need a category for, like, you know, regular people TV. You don't have to have a streamer. Texter says Slow Horses on Apple TV. Gary Oldman. Apple TV maybe has the best shows that nobody knows about because they don't spend a dime on advertising. You're like, well, how is anyone supposed to know this is out here? I don't know. Severance for me, flush it. I'm done. Delayed gratification is maybe not my specialty. Maybe that's the deal. We'll see you guys tomorrow.